Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us at the TSBS podcast. This is your introduction, and I am your host, Tashara Arthur. TSBS stands for Truly Sincere Business Solutions. Established in 2012, my job is to help you get to the next level in your business, from failures to lessons to blessings. Business is all about ups and downs, but it's how you handle them will determine if you are a masterpreneur or if you are an entrepreneur, or if you are a person who just decided to do something because you were bored. Now, forgive me for being frank, but this podcast is very forward. It is not scripted, and this podcast is not going to tickle your fancy. It's going to be real, and it's going to get real really soon. Thank you again for joining us. A little bit about myself. I am a master of business administration, a recent graduate at that. And I'm now in pursuit of my PhD in regards to conflict resolution within organizations. I am very strong in my faith, so you will hear me reference that a lot when I'm giving you guys business solutions. And when I say I'm kicking my BS, that's exactly what I mean. I'm kicking my business solutions. So just sit back and relax, because this is going to be a very interesting podcast. As I said before, I'm a very forward person. I love facts. I love references. And I love to get some type of feedback. So if you guys do have any questions for me, or you guys just want to stir up a topic, throw a topic out there for me to discuss, please do not hesitate to contact me. Okay. This podcast also was established to highlight the failures, things that I failed as an entrepreneur, and things that made me a success as an entrepreneur. I'm so excited to start this podcast. I'm really excited. So how this podcast was going to go is, I'm going to be doing segments. So segment one is what you're listening to now, the introduction. We're going to have 5 episodes in each segment. This segment, you're going to be introduced to vital nuggets. So nuggets that you'll need in order to operate any business, any entrepreneurship operation. I'm very excited. As I said before, I have a background in marketing. I have a background in management, and I have a background in staff orientations, in staff vision boards. So I'm really excited. You know, I'm very good at putting a vision down and executing that vision. If you need a strategist or if you need a consultation, as I said before, I'm here. But for now, this is just an introduction, just so you can get a feel of what to expect in this segment. We'll be talking about what's in a business name, hiring experts, business planning, business structure, and just overall letting you know the things that you should already know as an entrepreneur. But bye-bye for now. Go out there and be massive. Hello, all you masterpreneurs out there. It's Tashara here, kicking my BS on episode 2 of the TSBS podcast. So my topic today is what's in a name, or should I say what's in a business name? Always, you want to keep your business name catchy and relatable. And you want to make sure that it has a lot to do with the product or services that you are offering. So let me give you a little bit about the history of TSBS. In 2012, I was a recent college graduate from the great University of Florida, go Gators. I received my bachelor's in women's studies and a minor in African American studies. At this point, I was a single mother, and I was working with my father at his tax firm. Many people wanted to, you know, start their businesses or own their businesses after they got their tax refund. They didn't want to, you know, misuse or mess up their money. So my dad would tell the clients, oh, my daughter could do that. And then I look at him like, no, I can't. Of course, I would never say that to my father, because that's just something he never wanted to hear out of my mouth. But I really didn't know what I was doing. And this was 2012. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. And then I'm going to call it Truly Sincere LLC. So just playing with the pool of clients. He had about thousands and thousands of clients. So I was just going through the pooling, pulling out email addresses, pulling out phone numbers, addresses, mailing, doing mail outs, cold calling, email blasts, everything I could do to get, you know, my business up and running. And it was doing pretty good for me. But by 2014, I had to rename the business to TSG Firm instead of Truly Sincere. It became truly sincere group, and it was a firm. And I hired a team, started public speaking at networking events, just running all over the place. And to be honest, you all, the business was growing way too fast. I'm just being honest. It was growing way too fast, and I really wasn't ready. So here comes staff harassment issues, payroll, court dates. I mean, just stuff just happening. And it's like, whoa, wait, where did that come from? And now at this point in 2014, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't really have a full plan laid out, blueprint, business plan, you know, my marketing strategy for the next 5 years. I had none of that because remember when I first started doing it, it was just off a whim of, hey, you know what? I can make an extra couple of dollars doing this. As a single mother, I was just trying to, you know, make sure my daughter had whatever she needed and that we were okay. Then by 2016, I was just recently married. And I still had the name TSG Firm, and I was going to my networking events, still trying to, you know, keep my head up throughout this bombshell that was thrown at me. But then I was being drugged in and out of court again, and I just lost my desire to run this business. I was like, you know what, just forget it. Like, I know what I'm doing, I like what I'm doing, but I don't have time for this. Like, it's just too much. And then, so I started working two jobs. Now, in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to be less stress because I don't have time for this. One job, it was like part-time. You know, you come and go when you want to. It was more of a marketing company, which was great for me. It was a marketing company where I learned a lot of things, met a lot of great people from all different cultural backgrounds. But that's a different podcast. Anyway, now here I am. At a full-time job. Now, with a full-time job, I wasn't able to do as much as I wanted to do as far as learn my craft, you know. But I would say it taught me a lot about, it gave me a lot of people skills, interpersonal skills, I shall say. Anyway, so now here I am on two different jobs, not even doing my business anymore, and I get hit with a tax audit. And I'm like, why am I being tax audited? Like, I haven't even been doing any business, you know. Long story short, I got tax audited. I had to leave my work and go report to court dates, lawyer's office, accounting office, mediations, judge chambers, had to go through bankruptcy filing, postpartum depression. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you guys that. I end up having a newborn baby. So in the midst of all this stuff, I'm big and pregnant, stressed out. Oh my gosh, it was so stressful. But I had to get through it because I had to go through it. You know, and at the time, we don't understand the things that we have to go through, but I grew through it. And my husband, I don't know, it had to be God to make him stay with me because I was going through so much at that time that I was just very, very like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen next. And I remember him just being so patient, and he sat down with me and he said, why don't you go to get your master's in business administration? And I said, why would I do that? Like, why would I add more stress to the situation? He was like, because I think you'll do good at it. And I'm like, okay, I'll think about it. And then I was like, you know what? He's right. I'm going to be good at this business administration thing. Because remind you, all this time as I'm going through this, I'm still helping my father run, manage, and operate his business. Doing payroll, everything, just cutting checks. Just signing checks, just everything, just, you know, so why not go to school and get the extra knowledge? So, okay, then by 2018, I really got stronger in my faith. I started going to church, really just getting stronger in my faith, trying to keep my mind sane. And God used my spiritual father at that time, my father in faith, to speak into my life about broadcasting for business. And I always practice in the background. Funny thing, no one knew though. Like, I would practice in the mirror and I'd be like, no, that sounds crazy. I don't like the sound of my voice. I'm going to do it over. And God gave me TSBS to highlight failures and overcoming failures in business. So I'm like, TSBS, truly sincere business solutions. So when I say I'm kicking my BS, I'm kicking my business solutions. So I'm still like, okay, God, but I'm a failure. You know, like, what can I teach these people about business? I failed. But God knew I had to endure so you guys can be preserved, if that makes sense. A lot of times God used people to fail just so other people can prosper. So here we go in 2020. I graduated with my master's in business administration. I've been accepted into a PhD program to study conflict resolution within organizations, which is why my hashtag is I Train CEOs, because the MBA taught me so much. I learned so much with that MBA. It's crazy. So many resources, so many different contexts with that MBA, international context. I mean, just amazing. And then with the I Train CEOs, I thank God for that hashtag, because even with my PhD, which is loading and soon to come through the grace of God, it's the concentration is conflict resolution within organizations. So this allows me to train CEOs on staff issues, staff payroll, staff satisfaction, employee handbooks, and things of that nature. So I get hired by different people locally to market and manage their businesses and help them out with their payroll, help them out with their employees. And, you know, I get booked for staff orientations and things like that, which is something I really, really love to do. Strangely, a lot of people don't like it, but I love it. So my job in 2020, the full-time job I was working, was overwhelming me. I mean, because I'm always being invited to the round table for suggestions, but I'm often passed up, for promotions. And I'm being paid the least, but I'm contributing the most. Again, that's another podcast for a different season. But with my last maternity leave check, oh, I forgot to tell you guys something. I had another baby in August 2020. And so I was on maternity leave, and I'm just, you know, being prayerful about everything, because as a mother, as a wife, you want to make sure you're doing what's best for your family and if it's the right season to do things. So, of course, with my husband's blessing, I was able to, you know, turn in my letter of resignation. And I turned in my letter of resignation because, like I said, I market and manage my husband, my children. We all are entrepreneurs. And that's why I call myself a massivepreneur, because I have so much to manage. You know, my entrepreneurship is all around me. And so I started this podcast with my last maternity leave check. I didn't want my husband to have to invest in it. I wanted to do it myself, me and God. And what made me just finally take that leap to do this podcast is I was up. I pulled an all-nighter. I was up. I didn't go to sleep until about 6 a.m. And I was up doing a project for my PhD. And when I'm doing my classwork, or anytime I get some time of solidarity, I like to listen to worship music or podcasts, positivity, different podcasts, positive messages, or anything that will feed my spirit, feed my soul, feed my ambition. So that's what I was doing one night, and God just dropped it in my spirit. He said, record. So I'm like, okay, I don't really know how to do this podcasting thing, but I'm going to try it. You know, at your word, I'm going to try it. Within 24 hours, if 24, I received emails from all different type of networks wanting my podcast to be featured on their media platforms. And I was just overwhelmed, like, whoa, when you listen to God, when you do what God tell you to do, things just happen. I mean, I'm telling you guys, like, things just happen. And I hadn't even recorded no other episodes, just my introduction. That's the only thing I published on the podcast network. And I just got all these invitations from other podcast outlets wanting me, sponsors wanting to sponsor my network. It just blew my mind. And I just thank God for that. So here I am, 2020, 12 years of experience of entrepreneur and business empowerment, an MBA. Oh, and my concentration for my master's in business administration is entrepreneurship. So I primarily focus on entrepreneurs. However, I can help any business organization, but entrepreneurship was my concentration in my MBA program. My PhD, as I said before, is loading, and I'm focusing on conflict resolution within organizations. And I'm training CEOs to better communicate with their staff, to create a healthy, happy work environment. Because when your team is happy, your company will be happy. Your clients will be happy. Your customers will get the best service that they need. So that's something that I'm focusing on. And I'm just excited to be here with this podcast. If you guys like it, please share it. Don't forget to follow my podcast so you guys can be the first to be alerted when I give a new update or when I kick some more BS with you. I just thank you guys for your time, and I look forward to creating some masterpreneurs. I look forward to you guys reaching out to me to see if there's anything else I could do to make your business better, or to even give you some advice on how I messed up and how to prevent you from messing up. So again, I just thank you for that. Thank you for your time, and you guys go out there and be massive. Hello, all you massivepreneurs. It's Tashara again here, kicking my BS with episode 3. And our title today is, Why is it important to be an expert or hire one? Now, this is a very interesting topic for me because I don't believe that you have to have degrees or licensing if it's not absolutely necessary in order to fully function and legally function your business. So why I say you don't have to have a degree? We know plenty of successful entrepreneurs who are now entrepreneurs, which are international, well-established entrepreneurs that has leveled up. There's so many of them out there who don't even have a degree, if a high school diploma. And I don't want to, push for degree, unless you're like really going into a career field where you're trying to start a job and you want to be the CEO of someone else's company or the CFO or the COO of someone else's company. However, if you want to get degrees, that's great for you. I'm hoping all of my children go off and get degrees just for the expertise of knowledge. But I wouldn't say it's necessary or important for you to hold a degree as an entrepreneur. So since you don't have the degree, we don't want you to wing it either. Because as a client, I'm coming to you as the expert. Now, if I'm going to a bakery, right? I'm going to the bakery because your cakes taste really good. However, I do need you to understand health violations, health codes, things that shouldn't be in a cake, basic things. And it sounds funny and humorous, but it's true. A lot of people just know how to get the results, but the steps to get to the results can be toxic and can cause you to get lawsuits and even jail time in some instances. So it sounds humorous, but we as entrepreneurs and soon to be masterpreneurs want to make sure that we have the expertise to run and operate our businesses. Now, I also said that you don't have to have the degree, but at least hire an expert. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, if I don't have the credentials to run a business, but I have the skill, I want to learn. I want to have knowledge in case I'm ever questioned about it, or in case to prevent me from being liable, for anything. And so a lot of times we're just rushing and doing things because we want to say that we have a business, but we're missing the proper steps. So what I would advise you to do is research your business. Research who's been successful in your business, not only locally, but we have this thing we call micro, mezzo, macro, and it's more like local, in your region, national, and international. It's levels. So you want to make sure you do your market research. You want to make sure you know who's operating in my market. Who am I competing with? And then I don't mean compete against Sue around the corner. If we're going to be doing bakery, we're going to be competing against some of the huge bakers. At least our mindset wants us to, think like that. So I always tell my family or anybody that I'm helping, the entrepreneurs that I help establish businesses or even manage or, you know, consult, I tell them we aim for the stars and we shoot for the moon. So either way it goes, we're going to land on something great, but we're not aiming for down the street. We're not doing that because we're massivepreneurs, right? So we always want to think big, dream big, and plan big. And if things happen in between time, then things happen. But we want to plan big in case, check this out, in case God decides to blow our mind that very day, right? So we don't want to be in a position where God wants to exalt us or allow us to reign and we're not ready for it, if that makes sense. So I always tell people to shoot for the stars. Do your market research. And it's okay if you're competing against Jane's Bakery down the street. But you want to make sure that you're thinking on a larger scale also, because you want to start sending cakes internationally. You want to start sending your products internationally. And now we're going to get into these things called what? We're going to get into different areas of business, not just what we see locally. Because if you look at your local market, what is really pushing you to that next level in your local market? I mean, what's pushing you to be like, you know what? If my business gets to that level, I'm fine. I'm content. I'm sure there's nothing in your local market that makes you say, if I get to Jane's Bakery level, I'm good. I'm okay. No, because it's always more to gain. And as an entrepreneur, remember, entrepreneurship, you're doing this from your heart. This is something you can do in your sleep. So any form of entrepreneurship, you don't want to be forcing it. And if you're forcing it, it's only because you have no knowledge of it and you're not an expert yet. And that's fine, but you have to want to grow. Entrepreneurs constantly grow. You're never at a level where you're just like, I'm good, I'm chilling. No. Entrepreneurs continue to do market research, look for competitive edges, and we continue to make sure that we're on top of our game. Just as technology grows, services grows. So don't ever think, okay, I provide the best service in my community. Do some surveys. Ask your clients, how do they feel about your customer service skills? Ask your clients, how do they feel about your new recipe? If they tell you it's nasty, hey, it's no need for you to take it personal and get mad at them because they're saying it's nasty. Now, to each is an acquired taste. However, like I said, market research and taking tolls will help you keep your business afloat. Now, if you don't, you know how to research, or if you're just against research at all, this day we have a lot of social media platforms. And I'm sure all of you are probably on one or two at least, or your cousin or your niece or somebody is. So just ask them to use their phone or tell them to do it for you. But follow experts. For example, myself, I follow everyone that's in my field that I feel like inspires me to grow and go harder or grow better. Even in my new business ventures, I'm like, okay, I don't know how to do that, but I want to learn how to do it. But I need more knowledge of it. And so I'm going to follow this expert who have been tried and proven, to, you know, be an expert in their field. So with social media, you don't, in this generation, we don't even have to make contact with people, which is strange and crazy. I always think you should communicate with people and get to meet people, get to know them, have a face-to-face one-on-one conversation or consultation. However, social media has made that irrelevant in this generation. All you have to do is just follow and click and like and stroll and stroll and stroll until your eyes get heavy. And you can learn so much that way. Also, but beware though, because me and my brother had this debate / conversation / that's just our relationship. And I was in my final semester of the MBA, and my brother was like, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, the guy is hosting his class, and he has thousands of followers, and he tell his followers to start LLCs. And I'm like, huh? And he's like, yeah, he told us to start LLC. And I'm like, okay, did he tell you if your business qualified as an LLC, or is it an INC, or is it an LLP, or is it an S corp? Is it a C corp? And he's looking at me, pauses, and he's like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. That guy got thousands and thousands of followers, and he got a lot of money, so he knows what he's talking about. Mind you, this guy has no type of credentials, no type of receipts. And like I said before, you don't have to have a degree or anything, but you have to have proper knowledge. And just because you're telling people to start LLCs without giving them, you know, the proper backgrounds, you're setting them up for tax audits and failures. And I know that from experience, okay? But that's a whole other different podcast, and I'm not here to bash anybody. But just make sure that your expert is really an expert and not just a celebrity on social media. All right, so followers, the amount of followers that somebody has does not make them an expert. What makes them an expert is their years of experience in the field. Because if Mike has been doing this for 12, 20 plus years, of course Mike has something to tell you. But if you just started doing this 3 years ago and you just really got a niche for it, you shouldn't be out there giving people advice. Now, you have some people that God will speed up that. Listen, they have knowledge out this world. But those are very rare cases. So I'm not saying, you know, downplay anybody who has like 3 years of experience and call themselves experts. That's not what I'm saying, because there are a lot of self-taught people who can teach us a great deal. But we just want to make sure we're discerning properly on who we're calling an expert and who we're getting advice from in regards to our business. Another thing you have to consider too is, where is their market? So if I'm in Kansas and you're in Miami and you sell cows, and I'm trying to sell cows like you, because now you became a millionaire overnight because of your cattle collection. Come on now. I mean, Miami, we have a little bit of farms way, way down south in Homestead somewhere, but it's not as massive as the Kansas area, you know? So I hope that's making sense, and I hope that correlated with you in some way. But you just want to make sure you're not being a copycat where you're just trying to do what someone else is doing and you don't even have the same market that they have, you know? Next thing is, customers and clients want an expert. So if I'm your client, I expect you to be an expert. I remember my dad used to say, he used to tell the front desk, you know, our reception area, when the client comes in belligerent, he would say, and if the staff gets belligerent, my dad will fire them on the spot. And then later on that evening, when it's just me and him there wrapping up the day, I asked him, like, why did you get rid of such and such when she was, you know, she was the one who was being, you know, verbally abused. I'm sorry. And then she launched back at the client. My dad told me, one, first of all, the client is always right. Two, you're at the front desk. So you represent the back of this building. You represent the back office of this firm. So you have to be able to handle yourself at a certain, you know, at a certain temperance until security or until someone gets there. And then three, he taught me, you're the expert. You work here. You get the check. The client is just coming in because of their lack of knowledge. But you have the knowledge to tell them what's going on. And if they don't want to hear you, be quiet, let them vent, and tune them out until someone else can come. Now, it shouldn't take, let me correct this, it shouldn't take forever for upper management to get to the, you know, to the situation. If it's like so loud and belligerent and everyone in the freaking office or plaza could hear them. There should be a supervisor readily available to handle conflict situations in the workplace. But that's another podcast, another segment about conflict resolution in the workplace. But as the front representative, you never want to curse out a client or yell back or anything like that that will tank the face of the company. If anything, you should say, give me a second, I'll get you a manager. Or give me a second, I'll get someone that can help you. But to go back and forth with a client is always never acceptable. And also, I don't want you guys to think that it's okay to take verbal abuse, because it's not okay. But like I just said, you can excuse yourself from that situation without being belligerent back. Okay, so back to what we were saying about experts. It's important to be an expert or hire an expert or follow an expert. And funny thing, I say hire the right team. So you don't want to just hire somebody because, oh, I'm just really looking for a job. No. I mean, you want to make sure this person is the right fit for your company, the right fit to represent your company, and, you know, somebody who's knowledgeable, at least until you can get there, you know? I remember one time I was hosting an event with my nonprofit, which is another podcast. And my nonprofit, I was graced with the presence of the mayor of that city at the time. He came out to support me, but I was so busy running around trying to make sure the food was ready. I mean, I had an event, an anniversary of my nonprofit organization. And he took time out of his busy schedule to come celebrate with me, promote the event for me, take photos with the guests and everything. And he said, hey, Tashara, how are you? And I was like, I'm well, but you know, I'm on the fly, right? I'm on the run. And he said, tell me a little bit more about what your organization is going to be doing next year or whatever. And I was like, give me a second. The speaker is going to speak right now. I think my vice president was coming up to speak about what we had planned in the future. And I was like, she's going to announce all that right now, but I got to go. And he kind of like grabbed my wrist, not aggressively, but very gentle. And he said, hey, Tashara, slow down. And I didn't even know I was moving that fast. And he was like, slow down. He said, you are the expert. Whenever someone asks you about your organization or any organization you are a part of, you stop what you're doing. Because you never know who's the next sponsor of that organization. You never know who's going to buy the whole, you never know if they're going to invite you to speak at an event or they're going to invite you to a round table that can blow your business up. You never know. So never, ever, ever, ever be too busy for people asking you about your business or your organization or whatever. You know, things happen in life. We get irritable, we get frustrated or whatever, but that's a part of entrepreneurship. I'm sorry. That's a part of business. And business is only for the mature. So because you have a skill, that does not make you an entrepreneur. Okay? So that's another podcast. I'm sorry. But moving on. So when we say hiring the right team, we also mean an upper management level. Or no, not only upper management level, but the level of those who people cannot see. So your lawyer. You want to make sure your lawyer specializes in your particular field. You just can't get a lawyer and say, oh, yeah, we went to school together and I just want to, you know, support her business. Not in business, okay? This is not, business doesn't go like that. Maybe family law, you know, something like that. Criminal justice, something like that. You want to play around with your life sentence. That's different. But when it comes to business, never, ever, ever just hire someone off face or off strength. Of, I don't want to upset them. You want to make sure your lawyer not only specializes in business, but what area of business, you know? Have you ever managed a bakery? Have you ever went to court and on behalf of a bakery? No, I haven't, but I can give you some background knowledge. You give them a chance to prove themselves. Remember, you are the client. So when you sit down and you interview lawyers, because you need to interview before saying, yes, you're my lawyer, or yes, you're my business accountant. This sounds crazy. I know you probably never heard this before, but you have to interview the people that's representing you, if that makes sense. Because you don't want a lawyer that has a terrible, terrible, terrible background and let's say, for example, you believe in, animal testing, right? You're against animal testing on products. You get what I'm saying? But your lawyer is for it. So now you guys have conflicting issues, but that's your lawyer. And it sounds petty and it sounds that's stupid, that's crazy, but it's so serious because that tells you that the mindset of your lawyer and the mindset of you. So if you guys, you don't have to agree on every single thing. That's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is that you want to make sure that you are on a consistency. You guys have a consensus. That means you two can come together at a round table, have some things that you agree on and some things you disagree on, but nothing that's too drastic that'll embarrass you later if that person is representing you. So interview three different lawyers. You don't have to make a decision immediately. Interview three different lawyers and say, okay, this guy's crazy. She's pretty cool. Him, I don't know, maybe not. You know, so you can have something to go off of. And you let them know, I'll be giving you a call at the end of the week. To let you know if we can sign the contract for you to represent my company. You don't have to rush into that. And they're not doing you a favor by being your attorney. Same thing with accountant. Listen, it's so many people that get messed over because they're hiring accountants who are not business accountants, CPAs. You want to make sure that you're hiring the right people, not just running to any tax office that's open saying that, yeah, I can do a business tax return, because they don't have the knowledge to assist you. Now, when you're you know, going to interview with these people who's going to be doing your business taxes, you want to know how long they've been doing business taxes, not personal and individual taxes, but business taxes. Can they assist you in an audit if that's necessary, if that happens? And can they give you any advice as to managing your supply and your demand? And how do they feel about, your CPA and your accountant are two different people, then I don't know what to say. Because my CPA has to, I'm just crazy, but my CPA has to be as vested in my business as I am. My lawyer and my accountant also needs to make me feel like when I walk in the room that they just so excited that I'm there. I don't need anyone that I feel like I'm harassing, chasing down, or that does not believe in my vision, because they're on my paperwork. And I need all of us to be on one page. So I'm going to stop there, because I don't like to do long segments. So you guys could just, get your fixes and you go. So you guys, thank you for tuning in again. Remember, if you like this podcast, please share it and follow me so you can be updated as soon as I update, as well as letting your friends know that I'm Tashara, the Massivepreneur, and I'm kicking my BS. So that's it for now. See you next episode. And yeah, go out there and be massive. Hello, all of my Massivepreneurs out there. It's Tashara here, getting ready to kick my BS in episode 4 of the first segment, which is going to be called Business Planning. And we're going to see if it's as important as people make it. All right. So as I first stated in my previous episodes in this first segment, I failed as an entrepreneur. And I can say that proudly now, because I'm in a way better situation and position in my life. And I'd rather tell people about the failures so they won't fail versus just giving them a fancy success story. So being organized as an entrepreneur is vital to the growth of your business. Now, why is it vital? Because you don't have anyone over you demanding reports by 3, or you don't have anyone over you telling you have to make this many sales by the end of the month, etc. All you have is yourself. And you want to make sure that you're being the very best self as you can be for your business. So being organized, what exactly does that mean? That means all of your plans, whatever it is that your business need, when bills are due, deadlines, all that stuff has to be organized. If you have an iPhone, oh my gosh, me and my husband go through this. If you have an iPhone, you spend thousands of dollars on that phone. There's no reason you should be late for a meeting, or, oh, I forgot, or I don't have, anything. Because the phone itself is like a computer. And I'm not advertising for Apple. I'm just letting you know the facts and what's helped me be more organized as an entrepreneur, a person who's always on the go. The fact that we always have our phones readily available, that's the best tool you can use when you're keeping your business organized. I know a lot of people still like to use desk calendars and things like that, which is fine, but you also have a note section in your iPhone where you can put in notes, as well as a scanner if you need to scan documents. You also have different email apps that allow you to have at least 10 different email apps functioning at one time. Just crazy resources available right at your fingertip. And it go as you go. So I would use my phone. I'm not sure what Android users have, but I'm sure you guys have something similar that can help you be organized on the fly. So you want to be organized, because no one likes an unorganized person. They might giggle it off, but in their head, they're like, no, they need to get it together. Especially as a business owner, as a CEO, you're the chief executive officer. So you need to be executive whenever you're running your business, just as you will run someone else's company for a paycheck. You should feel that same way about your very own, and take even more pride in running and operating your business to your maximum capacity and you can't operate under clutter. So the next one is that I have is business planning is important because we have so many ideas. And guess what? You will forget. Me, myself, as a massivepreneur, I have so many creative ideas or projects going on, different clients I'm assisting, and I can't manage all that if I don't put things down on paper. And even for myself, God uses me so well for creativity, where I'm always thinking about this different, that's different. And sometimes it's in my dreams. I have to keep a notepad by my bed. Sometimes I can be jogging and God will drop revelation or give me an idea. And we have to write these things down. We have to capture them. And this is all about business planning, because you can say, okay, in 3 years, I see myself doing this. In 7 years, 10 years, or even next month, 2 months from now, etc. You want to be organized and you want to set your blueprint where it's readily available, where you can always go visit it. And we know scripture tells us to write the vision and make it plain so that the messenger could run with it. So your children, you know, you want them to be able to run with it, or whoever, you know, you want people to be able to run with your vision after you have accomplished it, and it'll be plain and easy so they won't have to figure out what did you mean and what was the purpose of your business. So again, we talk about business planning. Those of you who are looking for funding, you know, the bank asks for, you know, do you have a business plan? Some banks ask, do you have a business plan? Or even investors, they want to know, where's your business plan? I know in the NBA, we had to create business plans, argue business plans, make suggestions on business plans and things of that nature. So reach out to SBA, which is the Small Business Association. If you don't know how to do a business plan. So the Small Business Administration is very good because they host classes in local communities. So you should have a local branch wherever you are, where they host different courses. And if not, you can also go on their website and reach out and see when they will be having live courses, or if they can provide you some assistance via email or over the phone. There's a free software that I used in the MBA program, and it's called Live Plan. And was it free? Maybe it was free because of my student membership, my affiliation with the university. But anyway, it wasn't that expensive, and it's way, way cheaper than hiring someone to do it. And no one could capture your vision like you. So if I were you, I would go to Live Plan and you know, map out my vision and my business planning and allow someone to critique it and edit it for you. Because sometimes we live in fantasy world, saying that we need $700,000 in capital just to open a shed in the backyard. So the person who is looking over your vision will be able to say, hey, you know, let's revise that a little bit, or here are my suggestions. And that can be your CPA, your accountant, or even your business attorney. Also, what works best for me is the Kanban system. Now, the Kanban system is a part of the Lean Theory, which is one of the Six Sigma, but that's another podcast where we'll be digging deeper into business planning. But a Kanban system is basically like a to-do list. It is so old school, outdated, etc., but that helps me stay organized. Everyone is different. In my iPhone, in my notes section, I'm able to check off what I completed and what I need to complete. But it's also apps too that'll help you organize to do, in progress, or done. And that's another episode. I'll help you guys with that too if you need that assistance, if you need to be more organized. Another thing too is understanding a balance sheet and an income statement. What are the two and why do I need to know that? And business planning, because business planning is all about finances and keeping your business up to date and organized to make more finances. So in your balance sheet and your income statement, you want to know things like, first of all, what is GAAP, the general accepted generally accepted accounting principles. Why is this important for me? Where does my business fall in this section? And the reason why you want to know that is because, like I said before, it's audits. Now, in a lot of my podcast postings, you'll hear me talk about audits a lot, and that's only because I've been audited, and I don't want you guys to make the same mistakes that I made, because I didn't have really a business coach or anybody to tell me, you know, what to prevent and what to look out for. I only saw success stories on TV, and yeah, so thank God for the MBA, where I learned a lot of things, but the MBA came after I failed tremendously in my business. Okay, so we talked about you need to know what's a balance sheet. So really quickly, and then we'll do a financial episode later, but really quickly, a balance sheet, right? Your assets, your liabilities, and your stockholders' equity. So those are things that'll be some of the things that'll be on your balance sheet. Your income sheet or statement will have revenue, gross profit, expenses, and your net income. So this is very important because you think, I made $100,000 this year. No, you did not. Because you have to, put into calculations revenues, expenses. And then we can talk about the bottom line. And the bottom line is our net income. What are we bringing home after we paid all our bills and things like that? And another thing, I'm not knocking anyone who wants to have like a storefront or anything, but please consider the cost of brick and mortar. A lot of things are going online now, but I mean, it's just something that when you're doing a business plan, just think about the next 10 years or so of your business. And if you're gonna have a brick and mortar somewhere in your business plan, make sure you have an idea of buying that brick and mortar instead of constantly renting from that particular place. But again, that's another podcast. We're going to focus on business planning. So another thing that I like to use in business planning is the Kaizen approach. So Kai, right? That stands for change. And Zen stands for good. And so what that basically means is I'm continuously improving my business. I'm continuously thinking of ways to set my business apart. And I'm not trying to stay in the market where all the cool people are, but teach me how to get over there with the guys who like skateboarding or the guys over there who like hockey. I'm always trying to get in different arenas because I just feel like I'm just that good to have a wide variety of clientele instead of being limited to the clientele that I'm used to. So really quickly, those were just some quick business planning pointers to start with. Of course, you can always book a consultation or a one-on-one or request me to come out and we can get into more details. But just really quickly, those are some things. So one is be organized. Two is understanding that you can be forgetful because of many ideas flowing for all of our creative people whose brain does not rest. Two is reach out to SBA or download the Live Plan software to help you establish a solid business plan if you're looking for investors or looking for a bank loan. Four. Use the Kanban system. So remember the Kanban system I told you is the to-do list. So to-do, in progress, and done. And that's a part of the Lean Six Sigma. And we'll talk about that later on. And then five, I have understanding of finances. So understanding your balance sheet, your income statement, and what the GAAP is. It, as it pertains to your business. And lastly, the Kaizen. And Kaizen is change and good. So continuous improvements of your business. You have to be able to eliminate waste, be able to know, okay, that's played out, or that's costing me two times the amount of the actual product. You know, eliminating waste, eliminating the time it takes to restock, eliminating the times it takes to, you know, just ultimately just function your business. So you want to look for ways like, does it take me 15 minutes more to get there, or can I lose $15 extra in order to get the product to my client faster? So those are different things we want to consider when we're thinking about the Kaizen methodology. But anyways, I'm going to go because I don't like long episodes during my segments. And I just wish you all the best. I'm really excited about this podcast. It's going really well for me. And I hope I'm helping someone out there. If you need additional resources and help, of course, you guys can reach out to me. And until then, thank you for your time. You guys go out there and be massive. See you when I see you. Hello, all of the masterpreneurs out there. It's Tashara here, kicking my BS, and I'm so, so excited, you guys. Why am I excited? Because this is episode 5 of this first segment. So we have hit a milestone. We've hit a milestone because this is the final podcast of the first segment. I mean, that's just so dope to me. I'm so excited about that. And I just want to encourage you guys really quickly to never let anyone downplay any accomplishments or goals that you set for yourself. And don't forget to celebrate. Go buy yourself a card. Go take yourself out to dinner. Celebrate. Don't wait for anyone else to clap you up, because you'll be waiting forever in many cases. But nonetheless, let's get back to it. So I'm here kicking my BS with our final episode number 5 and segment number 1. And we're going to talk about understanding the startup process and foundation. So let's talk about foundation. Foundation is at the very bottom, right? It holds up anything that it supports. So understanding the foundation of your business is going to tell you how successful your business will be. So let's kick this, okay? So you have different options when you are starting a business, okay? Founding your business. And those options are LLC, INC, LLP, S-Corp, C-Corp, and in certain circumstances and situations, there are other options. But those are just some I'm going to kick out there. So we don't want people to push us into a bubble of one particular filing status, okay? So you don't want people to say, oh yeah, go start LLC, LLC, LLC. That's all I see on Twitter and everywhere else. LLC, LLC, LLC. And that's not always the best option for businesses. Each business has its own tax codes. And then, as a matter of fact, every business owner has its own tax codes and tax brackets and tax plans. So you can't just jump into something because everybody else is getting LLC. So now you want to get an LLC. So make sure you are knowledgeable of that, because it sets the tone and the foundation of your business. All right. Now, another thing you want to consider. I always tell people, you need your birth certificate and your social to be a valid citizen, right? In order to apply for loans, a car, whatever, you need your birth certificate and your social, right? Your business needs that as well. So, Tashara, what do you mean by a social security number and a birth certificate for my business? What is that? Your EIN number is your social security for your business. And your state filing status is your birth certificate for your business. So your state tells us exactly when your business started. And your social security number tells the government exactly when you filed and how valid your business is. So you can't have one without the other. I remember assisting a client, and the client told me, I don't want an EIN number because I don't want the IRS in my business. And I said, stop right here. I can no longer assist you, because I'm not here to assist the fly-by-night businesses. I'm trying to do what God has called me to do and create masterpreneurs. Okay? So if you're not serious about your business, I can't be serious about our conversation, and let's just talk about something else. All right? So with the IRS EIN number, that's absolutely free for you to do for yourself. So you can go on the IRS.gov and the search engine, type in EIN, and it'll give you the application, which takes about, I'll say, 5 to 7 minutes. It doesn't take that long. It's just a couple of screens and it's asking you some questions. And sorry for all the people that, you know, I bust your bubble for charging people to do an EIN application. But, you know, this is the BS that I'm kicking, because these are my people and I want us to be successful. All right. So then we talked about the IRS.gov. Now, your state registry, whatever state you're in, right? So I'm in Florida. So mine would be Sun Biz. So we would go on Sun Biz and then be able to register our entities. Now, I would caution you, though, if you don't know what you're doing, then you're going to get aggravated. So you might want to hire a professional. Okay. So that's your birth certificate. That's your social security number. Now that we have those things, guess what we can do? We can go get us a bank account and we could go apply for, different things with our business name. You also want to understand banking, money, receipts, money management, and things of that nature. Now, banking, you don't want to run and just get a business bank account. You want to do your research and see why this bank account works for your business. You want to know money managing skills. So, okay, I made $30,000 this week, for example. But I only can spend $5 because $5 is going into investments. $10 is going here. You know, I want to pay my brick and mortar up or whatever. You don't want to just get money and just spend the money, the same money that you're getting, because you're going to cause your business to crash and eventually you won't have a business at all. So we want to make sure not only that, we have receipts too for everything that we're purchasing for our businesses. The transactions are running smoothly, and your CPA or your accountant will be able to do their job more easily. You know, we talked about earlier in the segment how you don't want your CPA or accountant to feel like you're harassing them, or that, you know, you're getting on their nerves or they're getting on your nerves, whatever. So in another podcast, we will talk about cohesiveness of collaborations. Because you want to make sure that you're the best client you can be and that you're the best business owner. So you have to understand, if you want people to respect what you do, you have to respect what they do as well. So you don't want to be all over the place. And I know people like, well, I paid them to do that. Yeah, but you won't have any networking, working relationships, if that makes sense. People wouldn't want to do business with you if you don't be organized, which is also mentioned in another episode that we talked about in this very segment. So I think this segment is like so rich. It's rich because it gives you all the basic pointers you need, you know, to get your business popping and started and functioning on a certain level. You know, it's not long drawn out. It's a lot of information in a very little bit of time. But like I said, if you guys need me to give you more time, one-on-ones, consultations, or whatever, you guys can always just, you know, reach out to me and we can set that up. So we talked about banking, keeping receipts, managing your money. Now let's talk about understanding supply, distribution, and demand of this particular market. So what are the supplies? How much of these supplies will I need? How much does this supply cost? If I go to Joe's, I can get 3 cubic squares for $4. But if I go to Mike, I can only get 2 cubic squares for $4. So this is the stuff you want to be looking at. What is my supply? How much does it cost me to supply my business, my clients, whoever? Distribution. How am I going to distribute this stuff? How am I going to distribute it? Do I do shipping and handling? How much is shipping cost? With UPS versus FedEx. These are the things that people don't talk about that's necessary in business solutions. Also, do I want to do pickup? Do I want to do delivery? You know, so shipping, pickup, and delivery, right? So you shipping something out, or you going to get in your car, driving, and delivering. All these things don't get talked about, but they add up when you look at dollars versus cents. Okay, the demand of this market. Now, I like this part because, how do I do this? So, okay, I saw a post on Instagram, social media, that it was a picture of a bread aisle. And the bread aisle had all the breads out, and someone put a meme and said, basically saying, all of these are different brands of bread. Do it anyway. You know? Well, same thing with tissue or whatever. But what I would caution you on is the fact that they're already... They have all the stuff that I named in this segment, they have it together. So if you don't have it together, you'll end up getting discouraged. So yes, it's different names and brands of bread and toilet tissue, however, but they had a real business plan. They know their supply, they know their distribution methods, they know their foundation. You know, they have people that's organized. You know, they know what they need to get rid of using like the Kaizen system or whatever system they use. So it's not that I'm saying don't do it because everybody else is doing it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you're going to do it, if you're going to be in a market with high demand, make sure that your bread stands out. Make sure that your business stands out. Okay? Because yes, it's different breads on the aisles, but people want the best. Even if it's at a cheaper price or even if it's at a higher price, they'll pay it. Because it stands out, the quality of it. So you want to always be quality as much as you can at the budget that you are until you can get more funding. All right? So keep that in mind. Supply, demand, and distribution. All right? Those are some factors that we often don't calculate. And then later on, we realize how much money we spent in that particular area versus how much we bought in. All right? Next we're gonna talk about how do we reach you. So I'm a client. How do I reach you? One pet peeve that I have, and I'm sure you have it too, is you're running late to a ball, to a dinner, whatever. And Ross, for example, we'll use Ross. Never saying this happened, but we'll just use Ross for argument's sake, conversation's sake. Ross closes at 9 p.m., right? You get there at 8:45 and you rush out of your car, you blowing a horn, you fussing at everybody in the parking lot just to get to your parking space. Jump out at Ross and they tell you you can't come in. And you like, you guys close at 8. I mean, you guys close at 9, it's 8:45. And they're like, yeah, you know, you can't come in. Me, immediately, I'm calling corporate. That's first of all. Because the founder of this company isn't operating in the mindset as the worker of the company. So I said that to say, you have to always put yourself in a situation as a client to remember, well, some of us, because me, I don't have to do that, but some people need to be reminded of the vision. So you don't know how much money I was willing to spend in this establishment in these 45 minutes. I could have been grabbing a whole rack of jackets to go run to a charity event, you know? But you assume that I'm not going to be out in time because you're ready to go and you had a long shift. I get it. I get that, you know, you have a long shift, but you have to consider the clients. And you set your office hours, your work hours, your salon hours, or whatever hours were from this time to that time. So you have to understand that. Now, I know I'm not going to get a lot of small-minded business owners following my podcast because a lot of things I'm going to say is going to ouch. It's going to hurt. But it's only going to hurt because I have experienced it and I failed and I don't want to see you all fail. So be mindful of your business hours and your attitude when it's close to business hours and how do you feel about clients reaching out to you or customers reaching out and calling you. Now, I feel you should always have an email address for complaints, or not even complaints, customer service issues or compliments. Also, social media platforms, if you don't have an email and a phone number, because everyone doesn't want to do social media, which they should, but they don't have to. Another thing I like to tell people is Bentley, Rolls Royce, they don't have commercials. So you don't have to kill yourself with trying to have commercials because everybody else has commercials. Because I'm telling you, no joke, the best form of advertisement is still to this day word of mouth. If you have sucky customer service, that's going to be blasted on social media. If you have the best pound cake in the city, that's going to be blasted on social media. If something happened but you fixed it, you're going to have the best reviews on social media. So I'm just saying, you know, you always want to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do as far as a business owner. You can be reachable. Because if you can't be reachable, that's a whole nother topic and another reason for people to be displeased with your services. All right? So those were some things that I wanted to talk about. Just I if you read the segment, this segment was about introducing what to expect in the podcast. I feel like I gave away, oh my gosh, so much information that I usually charge people for, as far as, like, you know, consultations and stuff like that. But I just gave out so much information, and I pray that it's a blessing to someone out there. I pray that your business go from pitiful to plentiful. I pray that your business goes to the next level, and whatever I can do to assist, please reach out to me so I can assist you with, you know, getting your business where it's supposed to be by the grace and the glory of God. That's it for now. I'm just baffled by me completing this first segment. And I look forward to being around for a minute in a while. So you guys keep me lifted in prayer, as I will keep all the massivepreneurs out there lifted up, because God has big plans for us. Don't settle. Be massive. See you next episode. Happy holidays, happy new year 2021, happy evening, happy afternoon, wherever you may be right now. I just want to say you made it over the boundary of 2020. And my, was it a year for us as entrepreneurs. My God, if your vision was not birthed out, or not even birthed out, but if your vision wasn't stirring you up, in 2020, let me tell you, you got to get it out. You got to get it done. I'm here and I'm driving right now in Valdosta, Georgia. I'm driving and I just feel good. I mean, the air is crisp. It just gives me the feeling of new opportunities, you know, new life, you know, new boundaries even to set this year, so that we may be able to be fruitful and multiply. I want to say it's healthy to have boundaries in any type of area in your life, especially concerning your visions, your business, who you share them with, you know, who you allow at your round table in 2021. Listen, we're going to go somewhere this year, you guys. We're going to go. We're going to meet every expectation. We're going to climb every obstacle. So I just want to say thank you in advance for your support this year. Thank you in advance for what is about to occur with the Massivepreneur Company. I'm so sorry, I usually introduce myself. I'm Tashara, the Massivepreneur Arthur. And 2021 is about to be amazing. I feel it in my spirit and I feel it in the air. I want to take some quick time to do a quick entrepreneurship prayer. So yeah, let's get to it. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity, oh God, to be creative beings. Oh God, we thank you for your oil that's on our lives. Oh God, we thank you, God, for the anointing that you have given only to us specifically to birth out a vision that you've given only to us. God, we thank you, oh God, for another level of entrepreneurship. God, we thank you for another level of professionalism, another level of organization. God, we even thank you now, oh God, for resources, God, funding, oh God, business credit, everything that we need, oh God, in order to supply the vision. Oh God, we thank you in advance because we know, oh God, you are the way maker. God, we know that you are the provider. Oh God, we thank you for what you're about to do in our lives. God, we thank you even now, oh God, as Nehemiah, oh God, left, oh God, his job, oh God, as a cupbearer and went and did a work, oh God, that you, the vision that you gave him, oh God, we thank you that he took care of the vision. Oh God, and not only did he take care of the vision, oh God, he found, oh God, staff, oh God, and people around him, oh God, who believed in him, oh God. We thank you, God, that even as Nehemiah built the wall, oh God, against all opposition, oh God, we are building our businesses, God. We are building our brands. We are building our clientele. We are building, oh God, even our knowledge to another level, oh God. We thank you for trusting us with the vision, God. We thank you even now in the name of Jesus, oh God, and we also thank you, oh God, for a Joshua generation of entrepreneurs, oh God. We We thank you, God, that we won't be afraid, oh God, to go spy out the land, new territory, oh God. We won't be afraid, oh God, to take on the challenge, oh God. Even now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for a fresh wind, oh God. We thank you for strength, oh God, as an entrepreneur, oh God. We thank you for the faith, oh God, to bring forth, oh God, what you have divinely given unto us, oh God. We thank you, even now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, for that next level, oh God, that next leap, oh God. Oh God, we thank you for the next leap, oh God. We thank you for holding us up in the air, oh God, as we take a leap, as we take flight, oh God, into our business plans in 2021. God, we trust you with the assignment on our lives, oh God, and we thank you, oh God, that we will be obedient to whatever it is that you have called us to do, oh God. We thank you even now, oh God, for an entrepreneurship explosion in 2021. Oh God, we thank you that this year, oh God, will cause us to be millionaires. Oh God, this year alone, because of strategy, oh God, because of obedience, oh God, it'll cause, oh God, our finances to go to another level. Oh God, I decree and declare, oh God, that the obedient entrepreneurs, oh God, the ones that you have called, oh God, the one that you have chosen, oh God, they will leap, oh God, not only leap, oh God, they will prevail, oh God. They will tread upon serpents, oh God. They will do everything that you called them to do, oh God, by the power of, oh God, your might and your strength on the inside of them, oh God. For you have taught us, oh God, that greater is he that's on the inside of us than he that's in the world, oh God. So we thank you even now, oh God, for permission, oh God, to do this thing, oh God. We it about seek it. We thank you, Jesus, oh God, for what you're about to do in their lives, God. We give you the glory in advance, God. We give you the praise in advance, oh God, and we thank you for choosing us, oh God, for we know the harvest is plenty, oh God, but the laborers are few. So we give you the glory, oh God. We give you the praise, and we seal this thing, oh God, with our faith, oh God. We seal this thing, oh God, with your creative ability in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen, amen. This, I'm so confident about God in this season. I'm so confident in what he's about to do in my life and in your lives. If you only believe, if you only have the faith of a mustard seed, God wants to manifest. I said, God wants to manifest so many things in our lives if only we stop tiptoeing and we allow him to do what he does. We thank even now, oh God, our staff that went with us into 2021 at the Masterpreneur Company. We thank you for just being diligent. We thank the staff of Masterpreneur Company for being diligent, for being hard workers, you know, for just never giving up on the vision, for pushing the vision even the more. We want to thank every staff member out there that's behind a CEO. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for believing in the CEO. We thank you for pushing the CEO to the next level. All right, y'all, until next time, thank you for being massive. Thank you for not being immobile. Thank you for not minimizing your potential, your gift. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts here at the Masterpreneur Company. It's our vision to see people live and walk in the fullness of God as far as your creative ability goes. We thank you. Even the mission is to walk with the CEO along the way, because we understand that many people have visions, but they don't know the necessary steps to help them get to the next level. So God bless you all. It's about to be a great 2021 in the name of Jesus. And we thank you all for just following.